This week, actually tomorrow on Monday, we celebrate the feast of Saint Martha. Saint Martha is the Saint Martha who is Saint Mary Magdalene's sister. And we had Saint Mary Magdalene's feast on Monday of this past week. So these two saints, two great saints that lived in the time of our Lord, there are certain details about their life, certain stories that we're all familiar with in sacred scripture, that they really relate to today's gospel. They fit in very well. And there's a specific lesson that I think we should all take away today and focus on, and that lesson is humility and true repentance. And because her feast is tomorrow, we'll mention a few points about Saint Martha and how, just to get our minds started thinking in this area of humility, having a pure intention, and having true repentance. So with Saint Martha, we're very familiar with the first time that we are introduced to Saint Martha is in her home in Bethany. That is when she is giving, she has our Lord over for a meal. She is hosting him and the apostles, and this is where Martha is busy preparing the meal, getting everything prepared, making sure that things are set nice and clean. And Mary is there listening to our Lord. And Martha has that moment where she says to our Lord, "Can't you ask her and tell her to help me?" And our Lord's words go like this: "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and art troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary hath chosen the best part, which shall not be taken away from her." Now this is confusing, because immediately we think to ourselves that our Lord is, in a way, condemning the active life. He's just propping up the contemplative life, what Mary is doing, and he's completely rejecting the active life as being of no value. This is not true. Our Lord was both the active and the contemplative at the same time, perfectly. So that's not the point. The point here, and how it applies to the gospel, is the fact that Martha, she loves our Lord very much. She wants to serve him, and she truly has a good intention. And it's truly the fact that her love is the driving motive for why she is acting this way and trying to prepare for our Lord and do all these good things. So her intentions are very good. But there's this brief moment, and there's these little elements, you could say, of human pride, human desires that get into those good intentions. So we learn that we must have a pure intention. So we should ask ourselves, in every action that we are doing, especially in the ones that we're saying, this is a good action, God will be very proud of me for doing this, especially in those actions, we have to really analyze ourselves and make sure that our intention is pure. Do I work for God purely, or do I want to be known as somebody? Do I use words that are proud and high-sounding? Do I exaggerate the truth? Do I embellish the truth? Do I overly use sarcasm and wit to try to sound funny or witty? Do I desire to be noticed by others? How do I carry myself in public? How do I appear to others? Do I desire to be known as smart or useful with talents? Do I desire to be thought of as holy by others? Do I allow human respect to impact my confessions? What I mean by that is, do I allow myself to not be exact in my confession, that one would use general things to make ourselves seem better? That human pride can sometimes get in there. This is a big one. Do I strive, do I wish to be known as more Catholic than my neighbor? That could be a fault that we could fall into. I could say another one for parents and children. Parents, it's good to be proud of your children, but there has to be a balance. You have to be proud of your children because of the gifts that God has given them, not because they came from you. That can be that little bit of pride that gets in there. It's good to have that. Be proud of your children for their good that they have, but knowing that that good comes from God, not from you. The last one we could think about is, do I take comfort in saying to myself, you know what, I'm really not that bad, because that person is much worse than I am? And that leads us into the first time we meet Mary Magdalene in Sacred Scripture. She is there in the house of Simon the Pharisee. That word Pharisee, it is identical with that meaning of someone who says, I'm not that bad because that person's worse. This is the first time we see Mary Magdalene in the house of Simon the Pharisee. Now, we know that Simon the Pharisee, in this example, we're all familiar with this story as well. Simon the Pharisee invites our Lord not because he believes in him to be the Messiah and he wants to be in his company. He does so because he wants to examine Christ. He doesn't believe in him. He wants to test him. And Simon shows him this coldness that is unusual. When you invite someone over to your house for company, you engage with them, you be kind, you show them that hospitality. Simon did not do this. He was very cold to our Lord. Now, in this setting, in Simon's house, Mary Magdalene comes into the picture. The first time we hear about her in Sacred Scripture. And there's a lot of details about this event that really show forth St. Mary Magdalene's humility. Some of those things, Mary walks in, and first, we should get an idea of who she is. Mary Magdalene is not just a commoner. She has a standing in society, a good standing. Even though it's kind of an undertone that people know her hidden life. Certain people know her sinful life. But in society, she has a good name. She is somebody. And there she approaches our Lord. And remember, our Lord, he's in the house of one who doesn't believe in him. He's in the house, and Simon either thinks that our Lord is a fraud, he's trying to determine if this man is a fraud, or if he is crazy. So that's the intention. So when Mary Magdalene goes on her knees to our Lord's feet, kneels down, people are staring at her. This is a sight to see, especially with the fact that she has an uncovered head. In the women of the East, this was something that was very, very, it was not something that a woman would go out in public without her head covered. It was a sign of that humility. Mary also, she's weeping. That's embarrassing in public, obviously. She's weeping for her sins. And to add to all of this, we don't know how or how Simon the Pharisee has this knowledge, but he knows that Mary Magdalene, through the gossip of the town, is a sinner in her private life. Many other people probably know that are there in the house. They probably know that as well. So they know that she's kneeling down before our Lord, begging him for mercy. And it's this, everyone looks, and Simon, he's the example, and he says to our Lord, if only you know what kind of woman she is. He sets himself up as the gold standard, that she's this great sinner, but he's somehow great. Somehow he's of a different caliber. But our Lord, he sees the heart. And in that moment where Mary is kneeling before our Lord, this great sinner, just about to make this 180 conversion, loving Christ, that bold act of humility, where everyone knows her sin, sees that public display right before them. God knows the heart, and sin is not an obstacle for God's love of Mary Magdalene. He loves her because our Lord is not like the Pharisee. The Pharisee loves what he can get out of someone else, how he can grow by putting someone else down. Our Lord is not like that at all. Our Lord is the exact opposite. Our Lord loves the sinner, not because of their sin, but he wants them to come back to him. Remember, our Lord came, and those were his words as well, he came to save sinners. So Mary Magdalene has the greater love in her heart. And it's something that we should reflect upon, that humility. And our Lord says about her to Simon, he doesn't even address Mary directly. He speaks to Simon first to show the lesson. That here, this woman who you're saying is the worst sinner possible, here she is showing me love and hospitality, and you show me coldness. Many sins are forgiven her because she hath loved much. Is that how our devotion is in our life, in our spiritual lives? Are we cold to our Lord? Just praying to him sometimes. Just asking for his help and protection sometimes. Very cold. We can stop and reflect for a moment. Imagine yourself there in the house at Simon the Pharisee's house, and imagine that you have some of that, the town gossip. You're in on it. You know Mary's hidden life. Do you really think that you would not do the same exact thing that Simon the Pharisee did in judging her? Would you not say in your mind, Lord, if only you knew what kind of sinner she is? That's a good meditation for all of us. Many times we look at other people and we say, that person is the worst possible sinner. I want nothing to do with them. And we stay away from them like the plague. We remember that Christ came to save sinners. It's our job as Catholics to help the sinner change their life. Obviously, we don't want to get any of their bad lifestyle on us. But if our purity of intention is good, God will protect us. So we should think, that person who we view as this horrible, horrible sinner, much, much worse than we, if that person converted, 9 times out of 10, that person, if they converted, would love God much more. They would make use of the graces that God has given them, the natural talents and abilities that they have. Instead of for sin, they would change their life around and love God and do his will much more than I. That should foster in us the virtue of humility. These great sinners could become a Mary Magdalene in the blink of a second. They could just completely change if they corresponded with that grace. So do not set yourself up as the judge. So finally today, drawing the conclusion to the gospel very quickly, we have another story about a Pharisee. So we have the Pharisee and the publican. What's a publican? A publican is a tax collector. Now, tax collectors, they're the most hated person in town. If you ask someone who's the person in town that has the most sins, everyone would say the tax collector. They're the worst sinner. So we see this Pharisee, and he's comparing himself to this publican. And the Pharisee says this prayer, but it's actually not a prayer at all. It's actually a blasphemy. Because he's not praying to God, he's praying to himself. The Pharisaical man has no faith. All his faith is put in himself. He has no confidence in God because he places all of it in himself, in his own talents and abilities. We learn from St. Paul in the epistle, the whole message is using our talents and abilities for God. God gives, it's for us to use them well. So we see that the publican, his humility, going to our Lord, would not even lift up his eyes because he's truly sorry for his sins. And it's true that God, he reads his heart God reads the heart. He knows. It's not about the outward things that we can see with our eyes. It's about what's in the person's heart. And we don't know that. Only God knows that. So let us strive today on this 10th Sunday after Pentecost to be like the publican in his great humility. Not setting ourselves up like the Pharisees. Let us act, strive to be like St. Mary Magdalene. Adoring our Lord, having true contrition for our sins. Let us strive as well, call upon St. Martha. Let us strive after having pure intentions in our actions, not allowing pride to take a hold and to spoil what good we can do with God's grace. And let us reflect on those words that foster in us a true humility, those words of the publican in today's gospel. Standing afar off, he would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but he struck his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. St. Martha, pray for us. St. Mary Magdalene, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.